The scripture reading for this morning is Genesis 41. After 2 whole years, Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing by the Nile, and behold, there came up out of the Nile 7 cows, attractive and plump, and they fed in the reed grass. And behold, 7 other cows, ugly and thin, came up out of the Nile after them and stood by the other cows on the bank of the Nile. And the ugly, thin cows ate up the 7 attractive, plump cows. And Pharaoh awoke. And he fell asleep and dreamed a second time. And behold, 7 ears of grain, plump and good, were growing on 1 stalk. And behold, after them sprouted 7 ears, thin and blighted by the east wind. And the thin ears swallowed up the 7 plump, full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. So in the morning his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was none who could interpret them to Pharaoh. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "I remember my offenses today. When Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me and the chief baker in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, we dreamed on the same night, he and I, each having a dream with its own interpretation. A young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. When we told him, he interpreted our dreams to us, giving an interpretation to each man according to his dream. And as he interpreted to us, so it came about. I was restored to my office, and the baker was hanged." Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they quickly brought him out of the pit. And when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came in before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I have had a dream, and there was no one who can interpret it. I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." Joseph answered Pharaoh, "It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Behold, in my dream, I was standing on the banks of the Nile. 7 cows, plump and attractive, came up out of the Nile and fed in the reed grass. 7 other cows came up after them, poor and very ugly and thin, such as I have never seen in all the land of Egypt. And then the thin, ugly cows ate up the first 7 plump cows. But when they had eaten them, no one would have known that they had eaten them, for they were still as ugly as at the beginning. Then I awoke. I also saw in my dream 7 ears growing on 1 stalk, full and good. 7 ears withered, thin and blighted by the east wind, sprouted after them. And the thin ears swallowed up the 7 good ears. And I told it to the magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good cows are 7 years, and the 7 good ears are 7 years. The dreams are one. The 7 lean and ugly cows that came up after them are 7 years, and the 7 empty ears blighted by the east wind are also 7 years of famine. It is as I told Pharaoh, God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. There will come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, but after them there will arise 7 years of famine, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. The famine will consume the land, and the plenty will be unknown in the land by reason of the famine that will follow, for it will be very severe." And the doubling of Pharaoh's dream means that this thing is fixed by God, and God will shortly bring it about. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh proceed to appoint overseers over the land and take one-fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt during the 7 plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh for food in the cities, and let them keep it. That food shall be a reserve for the land against the 7 years of famine that are to occur in the land of Egypt, so that the land may not perish through the famine. This proposal pleased Pharaoh and all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find a man like this, in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has shown you all this, there is none so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regards the throne will I be greater than you." And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him ride in his second chariot. And they called out before him, "Bow the knee." Thus he set him over all the land of Egypt. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no one shall lift up hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave him in marriage Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. So Joseph went out over the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt. During the 7 plentiful years, the earth produced abundantly, and he gathered up all the food of these 7 years, which occurred in the land of Egypt, and he put the food in the cities. He put in every city the food from the fields around it. And Joseph stored up grain in great abundance, like the sand of the sea, until he ceased to measure it, for it could not be measured. Before the year of famine came, 2 sons were born to Joseph. Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore them to him. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for he said, "God has made me forget all my hardship and all my father's house." The name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. The 7 years of plenty that occurred in the land of Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began to come, as Joseph had said. There was famine in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. When all the bread of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Pharaoh said to all Egyptians, "Go to Joseph. What he says to you, do." So when the famine spread over all the land, Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe in the land of Egypt. Moreover, all the earth came to Egypt, to Joseph, to buy grain, because the famine was severe over all the earth.
Thank you. I hope you have your Bible open to the Book of Ancient Words, to the 41st chapter in the book of Genesis. We continue our series, What If, from Genesis 37 through 50. Last week, Sunday, I quoted A.W. Tozer's famous axiom, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. If we were to ask Pharaoh, Mr. Pharaoh, when you think about God, what comes to mind for you, we actually have a pretty good idea how he would answer. When Egyptians thought of God, they thought first and foremost of a very sophisticated theory of how the world works. The name for that theory is Mayat. As you can see from this picture, Mayat is portrayed here as a goddess of truth, a goddess of justice, balance, and most importantly, perfect order. The Egyptian god Mayat was less a personal god, but think of Mayat as a way of making sense of the world. Mayat is the Egyptian way of understanding the way things are. It is their map of reality. Mayat is, as you can see in this beautifully ordered picture, Mayat is order and balance and harmony. The Egyptians believed that Egypt was at the center of the world. And everything outside of Egypt, outside, there is chaos and disorder. And so the calling of every Egyptian, and particularly of every Egyptian pharaoh, is to push away the chaos so that we can have Mayat here. This explains also then the Egyptian mindset. As a sovereign ruler, as the king, Pharaoh was the closest human link to Mayat. Pharaoh's number one job is to maintain control, to preserve order, and to push against the pressures of chaos. You can expect Pharaoh to have sleepless nights about making sure this order is preserved. He is up at night worrying about his people, worrying about his empire, worrying about the population, worrying about the economy, worrying about famines and plagues and environmental disasters and supply chain problems with grain and food. He's worried about the sun. And he is worried about the rivers, particularly about the Nile, because it is the primary source of life for the Egyptian Empire. Now, it's very important to note that these threats to the Egyptian Empire are not only practical concerns for Pharaoh, but anything to do with Mayat is a spiritual concern. And leading Egypt in harmony with Mayat is Pharaoh's highest spiritual calling. Now, this means the mission for Pharaoh and all his trusted officials is to live a life in accordance with the highest principles that promote Mayat. That means you lead with justice. You lead with order so that you can maintain the perfect balance, as you saw in that picture, the perfect balance and harmony of Mayat, so that the gods will be happy with you, so that they will not be angry, and so that they will give you life after death, access to the afterlife. Okay, so now that you understand what comes to Pharaoh's mind when he thinks about God, you understand why these two dreams are so upsetting to him. If you look in the text, we are told he's had a very rough night of sleep. The text shows us his night terrors by how many times it uses the word behold, startled. Behold, there came up out of the Nile seven cows, attractive and plump, and behold, seven other cows, ugly and thin, came up out of the Nile after them. And the ugly, thin cows ate up the seven attractive plump cows, and Pharaoh wakes up in a cold sweat. Then he has another dream. Look what it says. Behold, seven ears of grain, plump and good. Now look in verse 7. And behold, after them sprouted seven ears, thin and blighted by the east wind. And the thin ears swallowed up the seven plump, full ears, and Pharaoh awoke, and behold, 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 it was a dream. And so look in verse 8, we read, in the morning his spirit was troubled. Well, yes, of course, his spirit is troubled because he doesn't know exactly what these dreams mean, but he fears the worst. His heart is being weighed by Mayat on a scale against Mayat's feather of truth, which will determine whether or not order and harmony will be preserved. And the dreams give him the foreboding sense that the gods are angry and that they're angry with him. Look again in verse 8. In the morning, his mind was troubled. We understand why. So he sent for all the magicians and the wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. Now, to be honest, I wonder if these wise men and these magicians could not interpret the dreams, or if they would not interpret the dreams. Because knowing the stakes and knowing Pharaoh's ruthlessness, maybe they're thinking, I think I know what this dream means, but I don't want to get my head lifted up. One says, I'm really drawing a blank, sir. I'm racking my brains too, sir. Oh, these dreams. This is a tough one. Certainly a lot of imagery, sir. Certainly fascinating, sir. What do you think it means, sir? Then look in verse 9. We meet our old forgetful friend, Pharaoh's chief cupbearer, whose head was lifted up last week. He's back on the job, and all of a sudden, perhaps noticing the reticence of the magicians and the wise men, he says, hey, you know what? I remember when I was in prison, there was a young Hebrew. Maybe he will interpret the dreams and take the risk. This was like 2 years ago, and I remember he interpreted the dreams. I feel so bad. I totally should have remembered. He even gave me his card. He even sent me a LinkedIn request, and now I remember all of a sudden. It just, your dreams remind me. It might be a long shot, but it might be worth checking out. Now let's take a step back for a moment. Up until now, all Joseph has done is suffer and wait. Wait and suffer. Waiting to be rescued, waiting to get out of prison, waiting for his dreams to be fulfilled, waiting to be remembered, waiting for God to answer his prayers, waiting for God to intervene. But time and again, morning after morning, night after God-forsaken night, nothing. And then all of a sudden, the wait is over. And now, if you notice the pace of the text, everything happens so fast. Look in verse 14. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. Get him. Get that boy. Get that now because of what is at stake. Get him. What are you waiting for? Get the Hebrew slave. And look at what happens next. Joseph, when he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. I love how the text tells us that the first thing Joseph does is he gets a shower and a shave. Pharaoh sounds like he's in a hurry. And the entire future of the cosmos hangs in the balance. But Joseph wants a shower and a shave. This moment reminds me of the football player Deion Primetime Sanders. He used to say, if you look good, you feel good. If you feel good, you play good. Joseph, the primetime Hebrew. Come to think of it, I wonder if Joseph wanted to shave because as a Hebrew, he would have had a beard, perhaps even a long one. And all the Egyptians are cleanly shaven. So when in Rome, do as the Romans do. So perhaps he's just very clever and he wants to blend in and not stand out and not be perceived as a dirty outsider, as a Hebrew. So first he wants a shower and a shave. Verse 14 again, when he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Well, now that Joseph has been summoned to interpret Pharaoh's dreams, we discover Joseph's map of reality, Joseph's mindset, and Joseph's mission. Look in verse 15. Pharaoh summons him and says to Joseph, I had a dream, and no one can interpret it, but I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Word on the street is that you can help me out. Now look at Joseph's response in verse 16. I cannot do it, Joseph replied to Pharaoh. But God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. I can't, but God can. And for the rest of the chapter, every time Joseph opens his mouth, we see that what comes to mind for Joseph when he thinks about God, and it is very different than what comes to Pharaoh's mind when he thinks about God. Now, look at some of his responses. You have to have your Bible open for this. I want to show you in four verses here, Joseph's map of reality. Look in verse 16. It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. Then he says again in verse 25, look at it. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, The dreams of Pharaoh are one. It's not two dreams. It's one dream. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. God has revealed it. And then again in verse 28, it is, as I told Pharaoh, God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. And then if it's not clear enough, verse 32, he says, the doubling of Pharaoh's dream means that the thing is fixed by God, by Yahweh, and Yahweh will shortly bring it about. Now, put this together. I can't, but God can. God will give. God reveals. God will show. God will do it. And all of a sudden, Pharaoh is confronted with a whole new reality, with a new map of reality. And he can't help but notice it. It is as clear as anything as he's ever seen. There is something special about this man. In fact, he wonders if there is someone with this man. In verse 38, so Pharaoh asked them, can we find anyone like him? Someone in whom is the Spirit of God? And then in verse 39, Pharaoh says to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. Now, this might actually be terrifying for Pharaoh to consider. What if there is a God? What if he's there? And what if he's not silent? What if there is a God who rules all things? What if there is a God who knows all things? What if there is actually a God over and above and beyond Mayat? What if there is a God who controls all seasons, all rising water levels, all grain supplies? What if all my power, all my influence, all Egyptian ingenuity, everything humanly attainable, what if it's all insufficient? What if he's there and he's not silent? Now, I want to show you something very important about Joseph's mindset. I can't, but God can. I can't, but God can. It's not about me. It's not about me, Joseph says. It's not because I'm smart or gifted or I have some intrinsic ability. This is God in me. This is God at work in me and through me. And by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. By the way, what a remarkably sane, psychologically healthy, and refreshing mindset. We should all adopt this. In your world and mine, we face so much pressure. All day long, we are bombarded with the message, I have to make something happen. I have to make something of myself. If it's gonna be, it's up to me. Nike blares it. Just do it. Adidas screams, impossible is nothing. I don't want to be rude, even if you're more familiar with the AARP website than you are with Nike and Adidas, even on that website, it says, this is the banner on the website. Now, so don't be offended, because I also got it in the mail. That's why I looked at the website. This slogan on the website of the AARP says, no limits. Right underneath the prescription medicine for your heart disease and for no limits. The thing is, our culture is drunk with the vision of human ability and potential. But Joseph says, I can't. But God can. I am a child of God. filled with the Spirit of God. And somehow, at the right time and at the right place, I am now open to being used by God in any way, in any foolish way, or in any strategic way he sees fit. And now, if you go back to the text, we read at breakneck speed about the grand reversal in Joseph's life. Joseph interprets the dreams. 7 years of plenty, like you've never seen before. 7 years of famine, like you've never seen before. You better get ready. And he comes up with a plan for Pharaoh. Pharaoh likes it so much that he puts Joseph in charge of everything. He makes Joseph his prime minister. Look in verse 40. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. And verse 41, so Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. I put the man of God, filled with the Spirit of God, with the wisdom of God, in charge of Maat. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring. Let's read carefully. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command, and people shouted before him, make way! They have a parade for him. And thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. And then in verse 44, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift hand or foot in all of Egypt. Pharaoh says literally, they will submit to all your orders. In Hebrew, the text is best rendered by, they will kiss your mouth. They will listen to everything that comes out of your mouth. Do you remember how his brothers mocked him? Do you remember how they teased him? They said, here comes the dreamer. They even had given him a nickname, Baal of dreams, Lord of the dreams. And they mockingly say to him, oh, let's see what becomes of his dreams. He thinks the whole world's going to worship him. Who does he think he is? At one point, he is ridiculed for the interpretation of his dreams. But now, he's being summoned for the interpretation of the dreams. His brothers called him Lord Baal, master of the dreams. And Pharaoh now calls him Zaphnath-Paneah, a new man with a new name. And that name actually means the man to whom the mysteries are revealed, or the God speaks and lives. He's there and he's not silent. Oh, the brothers are about to find out what will come of the Lord of the dreams. Now, for those of you who have been here these last few weeks, you know you are not surprised at all that you find out the first thing Joseph gets, look at the text, new clothing, a new royal robe, a signet ring, Pharaoh's signet ring. When the psalmist comments in Psalm 105, verse 18, on Joseph's story, it says this, Joseph's feet were hurt with fetters, and on his neck was put a collar of iron. And now in verse 42, we read, Pharaoh dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. See, here's what the Bible shows us. The slave drivers put an iron chain around Joseph's neck, and Pharaoh puts a gold necklace around his neck. This is a dream come true. Everyone is bowing to him. God upgrades Joseph from slave transport to riding in Cadillac 2. God elevates him from being prisoner number 003 to being the number 2 in command. God has made an invisible man visible, a powerless man powerful, and his public humiliation has been transposed to public acclamation. And look in verse 56, in a stroke of divine providential genius, God now uses Joseph to bring blessing to the world. When the famine had spread over the whole country, Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout Egypt. And what does it say? All the world. All the world came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was severe everywhere. All the world came for bread. All the world was starving. All the world gets to live. They get to survive. Psalm 145 says, the eyes of all look to you, Yahweh. And you give them their food at their proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. God is fulfilling his promise. This is exactly what he said he would do. He said to Abraham, through you and your offspring, I will bless the nations. God has made Joseph a light to the Gentiles so that salvation can spread to the entire world. I wish we had more time. I've talked already a little bit in May about the names of the two children, but look at them. Ephraim, Manasseh, meaning God has made me forget all my troubles and God will cause me to be fruitful. Yes, indeed, Joseph, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, he will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Yes. See, this is all along God's plan. Every page of this book, every chapter in this story, every moment of Joseph's life, every humiliation, every setback, every grand reversal, every miraculous turnaround, it is not just about him, but it is about God bringing life to the world, bringing shalom to the world, order to the world. And now think about your life and mine. Everything that happens to you, every setback, every challenge, every hardship, all your waiting, all your closed doors and all your surprisingly opened doors, all your abilities and your inabilities are designed by God to do one thing. God has granted Jesus, the accused one, the betrayed one, the humiliated one, the imprisoned one, the ridiculed one, the suffering servant, and God has given Jesus authority over all things. So that on every page of history, God can give eternal life through Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. Friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, the living Lord Jesus Christ has delivered us from the domain of darkness, and he has transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, only you can do this. Only you can engineer this. Only you can orchestrate it, that out of the darkest pit, out of the hardest prison, you would raise up for yourself a man filled by the Spirit of God to bring life to the world. As we read the story of Joseph, we give thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ, who has saved us and rescued us, and he is now living bread, life for the world. And today we recognize and confess and embrace that it is ours. He is ours. Thank you for the unshakable kingdom. Thank you for the promises. Thank you for the faithfulness. Thank you for the turnaround. We pray, Lord, for all those who still wait. We pray for those who still wait for their own grand reversal, that even now you would do it, not just for our sake, but for the sake of your name. Amen.